At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air wick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. And I am here to talk about a couple things, mostly last night's Denver Nuggets loss as they drop an unfortunate one to the LA Clippers. Final score 102-100. The Nuggets had an opportunity to win it at the buzzer. Nikola Jokic had a shot that was very reminiscent of the Golden State Warriors shot that he hit in the, not the Bay, but like, I guess it's San Francisco, yeah. Had an opportunity there. Unfortunately, it didn't go down, and the Nuggets lose, despite the fact that they had plenty of opportunities. It was tough to see. One of those ones that if you're really hoping that Denver gets the one seed, that they would be able to pull that one out. Unfortunately, it did not come to pass, and the Nuggets are now in a situation where, yeah, I'm not sure how hard they're going to push for the one seed. I'm not sure how hard they're going to push for the rest of the way. We'll certainly find out based off of how they handle a couple of different games. And this next game will be interesting against the Atlanta Hawks. Then they go, they have a couple days off, and then they'll go to Utah for a quick trip before coming back on a second night of a back-to-back and play the Minnesota Timberwolves on April 10th. That is a big one. That's a big one for sure. We will see what comes of it. But right now, Minnesota's in the one seed. Denver, they're not going to get the tiebreaker with Minnesota, but they will have an opportunity to hand Minnesota a loss. We'll talk about all those logistics in just a little bit here, but right now I want to focus on last night's game. It was one that I was very frustrated with last night. Obviously, you wake up, you feel a little bit differently the next day. You aren't as worried in the long term, in the aggregate, because, look, as I've mentioned previously, the Nuggets have done the work that they're supposed to do. They've done everything that they have to do heading into the playoffs. There's nothing more that I think that is required that they do. And yet you get moments like last night where, yeah, it just sucks. You're competitive, especially if you're a Nuggets fan and you have, like, you get a game that comes down to the wire. You'd never want to see them lose it, especially when Denver goes all out for it. Nikola Jokic played 40 minutes, and he was spectacular. He was great. He played a fantastic game. Ultimately missed the long shot at the end, but nobody's really blaming him for that one, I don't think. Denver had the opportunity right at the end, basically 2-point game. Clippers are up. They have the ball, but they have to score. They miss their ensuing shot. Peyton Watson collects the rebound with about 8 seconds left on the clock. 7 to 8 seconds left. And doesn't on the spot immediately take a dribble, but he sort of looks around and then starts dribbling. And David Adelman, who's coaching in place of Michael Malone, saw what was happening. I think he wanted to let it unfold to see if Denver could get an opportunity in transition. And then Watson had no idea what to do. Should I give it to Jokic? Should I drive the lane? The last time I tried to drive in transition, I turned the ball over because I dribbled the ball above my head. those thoughts, I'm sure, went through Peyton Watson's head, especially at the end of a game where things get a little bit crazy. But Denver, unfortunately, they dropped a tough one because you call a timeout after that. But after the dribble, you can't advance the ball into the front court. And so Denver didn't have a good play where they could get the ball into the front court. And that really hurt them for sure. They had an opportunity, I guess, on the first one. But the ball that was passed to Christian Brown was batted out of bounds by Norman Powell. And then Nikola Jokic, who's being hounded full court by PJ Tucker, caught the ball going backwards, which is just that's a sin. You never want to do that in a situation like this one. And that's all that she wrote, because Denver, they couldn't pass the ball forward. I wish that they had come up with a situation where Joker didn't have to get the ball. For whatever reason, the Nuggets didn't bring back in Reggie Jackson in that situation as a dribbling release valve. I'm not sure why they didn't do it. I think that if they had brought back in Reggie as a point guard, as somebody who could receive the ball, dribble it to a spot, set up a quick read, and then try to get the ball to Jokic or Michael Porter or KCP or one of those guys to shoot the ball, that would have been the way that I would have gone. Instead, Denver, they can't really get into that play. They lose an unfortunate one where Nikola Jokic is just amazing in this last game, was just dynamic. And the fact that Denver lost it, it was pretty tough. That was one that they should not have lost, especially with the performance that Joker put up. In 40 minutes, Nikola Jokic, 36 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, did have 5 turnovers, but was a plus 12 in his 40 minutes. The Nuggets lose the game because of the bench unit and because of the minutes that were not played by Jokic. 8 minutes, Denver loses the game by 2. So they lost those bench minutes in those 8 minutes by 14 points. And a lot of it was like hustle related, especially in the early second quarter where Denver, with Reggie Jackson, DeAndre Jordan, Michael Porter, I think Christian Brown wasn't out there. It was Justin Holiday and Peyton Watson out there. Denver just couldn't get anything to go, and they couldn't get any rhythm. And that was a problem. That was something that, like, we've seen this before at the beginning of second quarters, and it's just how Denver goes. That's how their team is built right now. They suck at the beginning of the second quarter every time. Every time. And I know Nuggets fans are frustrated about it because I'm frustrated about it too. I think that for whatever reason, the Nuggets struggle to generate a good shot. And a lot of it is Jamal Murray's not out there with the second unit. But even when Jamal Murray is out there, his shot quality is really bad when Denver is playing without Jokic, because he's often taking a pull-up mid-range two. He's posting up. He is running slow it down offense. With Reggie out there, it's floaters. It's step-back threes. It's nothing going towards the rim. Everything is kind of being pushed away from the rim. A lot of that is because, as good as his chemistry with DeAndre Jordan was or has been at various points throughout the year, Jordan is not a player that the opposition has to respect because he's not athletic enough to get to the places quickly that the Nuggets need him to go. And so he's always in a pretty slow place. And the Nuggets don't have a lot of other guys that can put pressure on the rim or can get to the rim by themselves. Murray can at least create a reasonable shot in those situations. Christian Brown's not really doing it. Peyton Watson's certainly not doing it. Michael Porter's not doing it. And that's one other thing that probably needs to be discussed when we're talking non-Jokic minutes. Like, Michael Porter is not handling that well. And as great as the story is for Michael Porter, as awesome as it is, this is one of those situations, this is one of those scenarios, without Jamal, Joker goes to the bench. Porter needs to evolve in these situations and find more ways to stay involved in the offense, because so often the offense is, hey, we're just going to run 1-5 pick and roll with Reggie and DJ and see what happens. That's not good enough because the individual pieces are not good enough and Denver doesn't have the spacing around them. Actually, that's not true. They should have the spacing around them with Porter, with Justin Holiday. Peyton Watson is certainly suspect from a spacing perspective, but that is something that I'm watching. Porter's got to stay involved. He's got to stay engaged. And I wonder what it's going to look like in the playoffs this time around. Let's say Murray isn't at the level that he was last year, which I think is a very reasonable concern. Porter's got to find ways. Like, he's got to find ways to be more involved and be better than what he was last night. Because it wasn't just, hey, I'm not really getting involved. It was the times where he did shoot the ball. He was 6 of 18 and 2 of 10 from 3. Didn't get to the line at all. And just wasn't very aggressive going towards the rim or trying to get his own shot. And the couple of times that he did try, he got fouled. Or not fouled. He turned the ball over. Excuse me. Because he didn't get fouled. He just turned it over. So Denver is like, they're caught between a rock and a hard place on that one. Jamal's got to get back at some point soon. Denver's going to need him. They're going to need more creation from their bench unit because they can't have these 13-0 bench runs every time. Like, they've got to be more consistent than that. Murray's going to have to rise to the occasion. He seems to be the only one that can really do anything with it because as I've posted about before, as I've talked about before on this podcast, there are no good combinations. Like, Denver just doesn't have another good non-Jokic lineup. We're going to see what happens when Denver goes to the playoffs and they play Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon as the one and the five. And then let's say they have three different wings between Justin Holiday, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, and Michael Porter. Like, those are the four guys that you're really picking from there, because I don't think that they're going to go with Reggie Jackson as the second point guard either, like in a two-point guard lineup. Maybe they'll try it on occasion, but I think they're going to find that that is a bad option very quickly because the rebounding is just, it is horrid with that group, and Reggie is not helping that in any way, shape, or form. When we come back, we'll talk Michael Malone's ejection. We will talk KCP and Aaron Gordon as well, who I thought showed up to this game and were great. I guess I should spend more time on Joker as well, but I did want to mention Michael Malone and mention KCP and Aaron Gordon, because those guys, I think, absolutely deserve some credit, especially for their defense, but more so their defense on the season. And we'll talk about their all defensive cases as well. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling with a direct line to Las Vegas. You can use their promo code MILEHIGH, score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250, courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
X and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Please like and subscribe to the video if you are in the chats. Really appreciate everybody for stopping by. If you're listening to this later, sorry for being a downer. I get criticized a lot for being a downer. I think that it's fine. You're not going to ever please everybody. And I understand that some people, they don't care. Like they like my work regardless of whether I am positive or negative. And one of the things is I know I'm doing the work. I know I'm not saying stuff or being too emotional for a bad reason. That I know. Like, I know that my feelings are not founded on being like reactionary or anything like that. They are not founded on being like just trying to do the Gilbert Arenas route, for example, where I'm just trying to get everything for clicks. I'm trying to share stupid takes on purpose for like clicks purposes. I am not trying to do that. I'm trying to provide good Nuggets coverage, and my Nuggets coverage generally swings more objective to negative to realistic in that general like vein, despite the fact that like I think everybody knows how much I care. Like I care about doing good job. I care about doing good work. And so I'm going to talk about various things, and I'm going to take like share what I think. And frankly, I do not care if people are upset about me being a downer or whatever, because that's just not how that is not. I'm just not going to change who I am. Not going to change how I like sort of operate about this. Boyan says, any news on Vlatko? Nothing of note. I'll say, like, Vlatko, I am treating him as out for the season. Like, I think that it would be unwise of the Nuggets to try to put him into a playoff rotation. Like, that seems like the most intense stuff that you could possibly get. I just don't have any belief at all that he will be ready. Or he might technically be ready at those points, but I don't think that Denver's gonna put him into that situation. They just wouldn't. They had opportunities with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter in the past, but they decided to shut those guys down. Maybe Vlatko, because he's not like a second or third franchise player, they don't necessarily feel that way. But like, it just upsets the apple cart in too many ways to really try to throw him out there. So sorry, Boyan, I don't have anything definitive. Maybe I'll ask. I can ask around at Ball Arena tomorrow when we go in. Michael Malone got ejected in this one. The Nuggets lost by 2 points. Michael Malone got ejected, picked up 2 technical fouls. The Clippers made both of those free throws. That's an unfortunate sort of like Denver at that point was, I think they were down by 7 or 8. And so they ultimately went on a run. They figured out how to kind of stabilize during the latter stages of the fourth quarter when Nikola Jokic came back in. But the reason why Michael Malone got ejected was because of what I thought was a reckless closeout from Ivica Zubac. And they, like, the referees did not whistle anything after Porter had clear contact down low. And my opinion, I think there is a real possibility that that should have been an offensive foul on Porter with the way that he kicks out his legs. He kind of splayed his legs out a little bit. And it's unfortunate that nothing was called, because that ultimately led to Michael Malone being like, what the hell, what the hell. But if an offensive foul had been called, Malone probably would not have been ejected. He probably would have argued about it. Maybe he would have picked up one technical foul, but he wouldn't have been ejected at that place because he was able to sort of go off on the refs for that entire stretch. But yeah, it's unfortunate because Denver, they had the opportunity to not only tie but win the game at the end. And if they hadn't had two free throws against them from Michael Malone specifically getting ejected, then they might have actually been in a chance to win the game, to like really win the game. I think, and then the other free throw one that's really tough. Actually, there's a couple. I mentioned positivity for KCP and AG, and I'll talk about them now. But unfortunately, KCP missed a technical free throw. He's shooting 90% on the year. He's missed 11 free throws on the season. And it just happened that one came at a very, very, very poor time last night. And Aaron Gordon also missed 6 free throws last night, too. The Clippers went 27 of 32 at the free throw line. Denver goes 17 of 25. So they missed 8 free throws, despite the fact that they took 7 fewer than the Clippers. And Aaron Gordon's just got it. Like, he's got to shoot better. Although I will say there was a stretch at the beginning of the third quarter that I got mad about, where Aaron gets clocked by, again, Ivica Zubac, actually. And he gets clocked in the face or the side of the head and is clearly wobbly. And rather than them calling a timeout, rather than Michael Malone calling a timeout to check on his guy, he sort of lets it play out. And Gordon's clearly, like, it looked like he was in concussion protocol. And I'm curious as to why he actually stayed in the game. I thought that some officials would take him out. But he gets clocked, and then he gets flipped when he tries to jump for a contest and nearly lands on his head or, like, braces with an arm. And in those situations, like, it was completely avoidable the way that it happened. And I'm glad that it didn't end in, like, hey, a head injury for Aaron Gordon or a concussion, because we'll see what happens today. But I am also, like, glad that it didn't end in a broken arm or a broken wrist or a broken finger when he landed and he tried to brace himself on the ground after being upended again. So, like, the dude is clearly, like, he was clearly very wobbly, and I'm surprised that he actually stayed in the game. And credit to him, he's a tough guy. You want him to be out there because it gives Denver the best chance to win. But it was an unnecessary thing for Denver to have happen. But he has 18 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. Goes 8 of 14 from the line. It was an overall great game from Gordon, who spent a lot of time defending both Paul George and James Harden. But also, he was the backup 5 in the fourth quarter and defended, I think, Mason Plumlee at that point and did a pretty good job. So it's a pretty tough place for him to be. He's got a lot of burden on him, and I don't think that Denver should be adding to that with some of these hard falls and sore spots that he's going to have over the course of these, like, these final few games. You want them going into things healthy, and I just don't want him falling on his head. Like, that seems reasonable. But yeah, I mean, he did a great job defensively. I thought KCP overall did a good job defensively. I thought that Michael Porter did not. I thought that Porter was actually pretty poor on the defensive end. And I thought Reggie was fine for stretches, not fine for others. Gave up a lot of open shots, and some of those James Harden just didn't hit. But those were the two guys that were getting hunted. When KCP and Aaron Gordon were on Paul George and James Harden, things were going pretty well. When it was Michael Porter, who was getting hunted by both Paul George and James Harden, it was not good. And just a really tough game for Porter. Tough all-around situation. You want them to be stepping up in these situations where, yeah, clearly the team is very overburdened. Reggie is clearly overburdened. You do not want to have him be the guy that has to create all the time. And Porter, I hold him in a little bit more of a critical light than I think some others do. He deserves some of this criticism. He's had plenty of opportunities to sort of fit himself into what the Nuggets are doing, but he's also had plenty of time to play without Murray in situations where he should be the second option and he should play better than he has in these last few games. He's been pretty bad. He had one game where he had 19 points. I think it was the last game against the Spurs. I think he shot like 5 of 16 in that game and did hit a clutch three right at the end. So credit to him for that, obviously, but he's been going through it. He hasn't been great. And I wonder if it was ever since the Jonte news. Not going to lie. Wonder if that's impacting him. Peyton Watson, somebody I'm watching over the course of these final few games, because 18 minutes, 2 points, he had a couple free throws, had a really bad turnover at the end of the third quarter, and just has had some pretty underwhelming performances. Christian Brown had 8 rebounds in 34 minutes. Peyton Watson had 2. He had some decent contests against Paul George and James Harden, but those guys each also hit shots over him. I don't know. Neither of those guys looked at all bothered when Peyton was guarding them. And if he can't be a stopper, and then he's also not rebounding, and then he's also struggling on the offensive end, then I think it's fair to worry about what his role sort of evolves into with this bench unit. Because the playoffs are rolling right around. Would not surprise me if Michael Porter becomes the backup 4 and Aaron Gordon becomes the backup 5. It just wouldn't surprise me at all. Because Michael Malone, he needs to trust some of these guys to sort of fill out what they're supposed to be doing. And with Peyton, it's still a little bit erratic. Like, you just don't know what you're going to get sometimes. And he's out there at a lot of these points where Denver, like, they need a creator. It's asking too much of Peyton to do that. Eventually, you'd like him to be able to do that. This year's probably not the right year for it. Next year, I hope that they continue to evolve him as a pick and roll kind of option, a DHO kind of option. And then it can't just be mid-range twos. He's got to be able to get all the way to the rim and find ways to be creative in that. So we'll see. We will see what happens. Last thing for this segment, I did mention KCP and Aaron Gordon all defense. I'm not going to go too in-depth on who I would pick on my all defensive teams or anything like that. I think that's something that Swipa and I may try to do this weekend on Sunday or so. But I did want to go over defensive EPM. Aaron Gordon is currently 27th in defensive EPM. That doesn't sound like a player that on, like, when there's 10 spots, it doesn't sound like a player that you seriously consider from an advanced perspective. What I will say on the defensive EPM side is that if you remove the ineligible players, players that are either having so small a role, like Nickeil Alexander-Walker, for example, that sometimes he doesn't cross the 20-minute threshold, so he's not really available. Jonathan Isaac has played 53 games. He's at the top of defensive EPM. Isaiah Hartenstein, I'm sure, is probably in a similar case where he's had enough games that he hasn't played at least 20 minutes. So if you remove some of those names, and then you remove all the players that haven't eclipsed the 65-game threshold, Aaron Gordon, like if you just remove those games, not even the ones where, like, hey, it's only 20-some-odd minutes that these guys are playing, Aaron Gordon is at 14th if you just remove the players who have played under 65 games. 14th. So it becomes a very interesting case from an analytics perspective where the Nuggets are 9th overall in defense on NBA.com, which is just the base defensive rating. It's not pace adjusted. It's not like luck adjusted or anything like that. But for Denver, like, Aaron Gordon fills so many roles for the Nuggets, and like, he's the backup five sometimes. He is the low man in pick and roll defense. He is defending on the wing. Sometimes he's defending on the ball. Sometimes he's defending your LeBrons. Sometimes he's defending Paul George. Sometimes he's defending Karl Anthony Towns. If you go through the playoffs last year, defended Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards, and LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and to name a few. Like, he's had plenty of names where, like, he probably deserves it a little bit more than he's getting a lot of credit for. And I guess I can take some, not like blame, but I probably don't deserve a ton of credit for propping him up as an all-defense kind of guy, because so much of his is understated, because his numbers, whether it's the steal rates or the block rates or anything like that, like, if I just go to his steal rate, he's in the 35th percentile. His block rate's in the 55th percentile for his position. So, like, he's not flashing with the numbers. You got to watch it. And so I think that maybe what I should be doing a little bit more, especially over the course of this last week or so, is really campaigning for him and just, like, trying to put together some all-defense lists. I'll do that with Swipa over the weekend, I think. Either all-defense or all-NBA or something like that. Maybe we'll do an awards show. But that would be fun. KCP definitely gets a little bit more credit from the national folks and from the local folks for his defense. He's a great perimeter defender. He is down to 50th in defensive EPM, though. And some of what he does is very nuanced. It doesn't necessarily get picked up in the analytics, because sometimes the role that he is filling is one, like, if you remember back to, like, Avery Bradley for the Boston Celtics, he's a guy that was a very divisive defender because he was an on-ball guy, but he didn't really do much else other than chase guys around on ball. So the players and a lot of people within the league gave him a lot of credit, but everybody that's watching on the outside is having a hard time really seeing it. That's very similar with KCP, who isn't going to grab a lot of defensive rebounds, isn't going to block a lot of shots, or he's got some steals. Like, his steal rate's pretty good, but I can understand why folks aren't necessarily locked into him on the defensive end. 85th percentile in steal rate, which is pretty good. It's borderline elite. I'm not sure it quite is elite, but that's one of those things. It's like, he's a very fundamental, handsy defender who is very bothersome from that regard. So I think that he's got a chance, probably more so than Aaron Gordon has a chance. It wouldn't surprise me if Aaron Gordon actually has the better case to be on the defensive teams. But you look at some of the other names, and because of how positionless it is, it's going to be tough for some of these guys to get on there. Including but not limited to Victor Wembanyama, Alex Caruso, Rudy Gobert, Jalen Suggs, Bam Adebayo. Just looking at some of these other names. There are some names that are like, eh. Herb Jones will definitely get on there. That's 6. Anybody on the Thunder? Does Lou Dort deserve a nod? Derek White will get on there. That's 7. Like, those guys will all get on there over Aaron Gordon and KCP. Jaden McDaniels will get on there. That's 8. And you're really sort of getting into some pretty tough territory. So, like, could Giannis get on there? Probably not. I wouldn't vote for Giannis because, like, as solid as he is on the defensive end, he's on a team that's not great on defense, while Denver is way better. Jaylen Brown will get some defensive consideration because of how he's doing on the ball. Drew Holiday might for Boston as well. They've got a great defense. It's not a surprise if that happens. So, look, I think the KCP and Aaron Gordon are kind of on the fringe. If they were to get it, that would be great. I don't expect them to. I expect Jokic to be the only person that is credited with any postseason award, which is annoying. But I don't know. Like, you watch games like last night and you can understand why Jokic is the only one. But it is what it is. Hopefully the Nuggets can get some representation. I would love to see Aaron Gordon or KCP to be credited because it isn't just Jokic. It's not. And nobody actually believes that watches the Nuggets. It's just so many people have plenty of opportunities to credit other folks around the league, and Jokic sort of soaks up all of the attention for Denver. So, look, we'll see what happens. Let's take another break. When we come back, we are going to chat. I'm going to chat playoff rotation and share out what my initial playoff rotation is, at least projected for the Nuggets. Should be fun.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Final segment here, Pickaxe and Roll. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Let's go over the playoff rotation. I wanted to include this out there. If you are watching on YouTube, you'll see a graphic that pops up now. If you are watching on, or you're listening on the audio side, this is one of my rotation charts, but I'm using this playoff rotation as sort of a projected playoff rotation option for Denver. The minutes are going to look a little bit interesting, and that's really where it kind of, you sort of see it. Nikola Jokic I have playing 38 minutes a night. Jamal Murray I have playing 38 minutes a night. Between KCP, Michael Porter, and Aaron Gordon, those guys are each playing 36. That's a lot. Like, if you go back to last year's playoffs, and maybe this is kind of a is sort of how it's impacted, where Denver, sometimes at the end of games, they'll miss out on a minute or two because there's a blowout here or there, or yada, yada, yada. Jamal Murray averaged 40 minutes a night. Nikola Jokic averaged 39.5 minutes a night. Aaron Gordon averaged 35.7. KCP at 33.6. Michael Porter at 32.7. And then Bruce Brown averaged 26.5. That is where some of the, not issues lie, but when you're trying to build out a rotation like I am, and like the Nuggets are going to have to, if you're trying to build out a rotation, you don't want to overburden Murray and Jokic. They'll probably get up to 40. I think, look, if you want to get them up to that pretty consistently, just add back in those point guard minutes for Murray, if you're looking on the screen. In that fourth quarter, he's got five minutes, six are going to Reggie in a stagger. Just give those back to Murray and you're at 40. And then for Jokic, just shorten his absences, or maybe like extend him first quarter, third quarter to the end of the quarter, as opposed to where I have it, where he's playing 11 minutes in each of them. But this is what's interesting to me. Denver is going to play a 9-man rotation, most likely. Zeke Nnaji, probably not going to play. DeAndre Jordan, probably not going to play. Jalen Pickett, Julian Strother, Hunter Tyson, rookies, not going to play. Like, that's a fact. Colin Gillespie is ineligible. Braxton Key is ineligible. Jay Huff is ineligible. Vlatko Chanchar, right, as I said earlier today, I'm treating him as out for the season. So, right now, the only 11 guys that I really expect to be in consideration are the four guys I have listed, along with Zeke Nnaji and DeAndre Jordan. Watching DeAndre over the course of this like post-All-Star break stretch, he can't move. He's really struggling. There are some matchups, very briefly, where I think he'd be okay. But if Denver needs to go to another big, I think they should go to Zeke. I don't think they should go to DeAndre. I think that the best thing that Denver can do is run a switchable defensive unit and then focus on their rebounding as much as possible. Because in the playoffs, with second units, so often second units are not playing their backup bigs. They are going small anyway. Denver's no different. They're actually probably even more extreme, because they're going to be playing their 6'8" Aaron Gordon as the backup center for most of this time. But the bench lineup that I have is Murray, Justin Holiday, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and Aaron Gordon. That lineup plays about 6 minutes every game. Then Michael Porter comes back in, and you start to sort of blend back in the starters at that point. It wouldn't surprise me if Michael Porter just sits for those 4 minutes at the end of the first and third quarters that I have, and then comes back in as the backup power forward with Peyton Watson not playing as much. Denver's going to be in a bind with their front court, because last year what they could do with their front court was have Jeff Green as a stable option for the most part. Jeff Green last year averaged 17.2 minutes per game as the seventh man. Christian Brown averaged 13 minutes per game as the eighth man. This year, Christian is going to take the place of Bruce Brown, I think, but he's not going to quite play as many as the 26 minutes. And then at that point, it's anybody's guess. I don't know. I do not know what's going to happen with spots 7, 8, and 9. This is my best guess of how it goes, at least at the initial outset. Fouls will change things. Hot starts will change things. Maybe Jamal plays a little bit more in the second and fourth quarters than what I have right now. Maybe Michael Porter comes back in a little bit earlier. Maybe KCP plays the entire first and third quarter like he's been doing lately. There's a lot of different things that Denver can do. I'm very curious to see how it sort of evolves, but this is my best guess, at least at the outset. I'm curious to see what other people have, what they think Denver could do. But they just don't have a lot of options, right? Like, when you've got three rookies on the bench in Pickett, Strother, and Tyson, You're definitely not like trusting Pickett or Tyson. Those guys have barely played at all. Strother, yeah, he has played. He's played over 500 minutes, I believe. But he just profiles right now as a player that does not play in the playoffs because of his defensive concerns and because he is a guy that's easy to game plan for on the offensive end. You know he's a runoff. You know he's a shooter. You force him to drive. You play physically with him. You don't let him take wide open standstill threes. That is the scouting report on Julian Strother. So you're probably not playing him a ton either. With DeAndre Jordan, the scouting report is very easy. You want to attack him in pick and roll. You want to force him to rotate over. And then you want to sag off of him as much as possible on the other end of the floor and then send help to the other guys. With Zeke, like, you're going to dare him to shoot. You are going to dare him to make decisions with the ball. You're going to attack him in isolation, force him out of the paint, and then get offensive rebounds behind him. That's how they game plan for it. All coaches know this. Every opposing coach knows this about Denver. And they're going to find ways to attack Reggie Jackson. They're going to find ways to attack Christian Brown. They're going to find ways to attack Peyton Watson. And it is going to be really, really tough for Denver because they don't have, like, those guys don't have a ton of experience playing together. I think that Justin Holiday is, it's very possible that he becomes the sixth man for Denver. Christian Brown does do some things, and he does some things like he is a better player right now than Justin Holiday. But one of the things about Justin Holiday is that his fit is seamless in every situation, whether he's playing the two, the three, Denver kind of shifts around him. Like, some other guys will handle the ball. Justin Holiday's not going to handle the ball. Maybe the scouting report on Holiday is that you're basically trying to run him off the three-point line and force him to take pull-up twos or driving twos. Okay. If that's the scouting report, that's the scouting report for pretty much every off-ball wing. So teams are going to dare him. They're going to dare Reggie to beat them on drives. They're going to attack Reggie on defense. And just looking at this thing, I'm a little bit more worried. A little bit more worried about what that bench lineup's going to look like. It wouldn't surprise me if Denver tries to get a little bit more creative than what I have it as right now. This is what I think they're going to do in game one of the first round. That's how I think they're going to approach it, and or somewhere similar. And I'll post both of them side by side. I will post this one and game one of the playoffs side by side when the time comes. So we'll see how far off I was. But it should be fun. Should be interesting to track, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. But right now I've got, as Noah Linden says here, they shouldn't play Reggie at all. I've got him down to 10 minutes. They're going to have to play him a little bit because they're going to need a second ball handler. Like, they just are. I'm curious to see what Christian Brown looks like in that sort of point guard role. I didn't have an opportunity to check the numbers, but maybe they go to KCP or Christian Brown as the backup point guard and they cut Reggie out entirely. That is possible, especially if Denver wants to go all defense. I don't know if they will. If that probably more of a game five, game six, game seven in the second, third, or conference, like, or NBA finals kind of route. But there's a possibility that Reggie gets cut out, as you said. So we will see. All right, everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I know I'm not everybody's desired option for Denver Nuggets coverage. I'm never asking to appeal to everybody, but I do appreciate you if you're here. I do appreciate everybody for stopping by, hanging out, doing the things that they're like, and just vibing out. It's a lot of fun to see the regulars here. Gonna be interesting to see sort of how this evolves. But today's Justin Holiday's birthday, by the way. As Snowwolf says in the comments, regular in the comments. Snowwolf, really appreciate you stopping by. Today is Justin Holiday's birthday. Everybody go wish Justin Holiday a happy birthday. He's a good dude. He's dope. Everybody hit that like button on the way out. Hit the subscribe button on the way out. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. I will talk to you guys very soon.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.